All right. Well, hello. Yesterday was a disaster. So today, hopefully, is a little better. But, yeah, if you can hear, it's a different setup today. But welcome, welcome, one and all. It's 1900 ETC on and on radio. This is news to me. No intro song yet. I'll figure it all out soon. But the new change is I've got a Zoom voice recorder and a lapel mic, you see. And in the mornings, I usually take a walk. Whenever everything's good in the brain box, my head, I usually get to work around 7 a.m. And around 9 or 9:30, I'll go for a walk. And then I'll come back and work. And then about 1900 UTC, which is 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, I'll go for another walk. But ever since the show's been going on, I go to the garage, kind of do the news. Well, it's become apparent that in the afternoon is when all the people are available at work, and I'm proving to become hard to find when people need me during the midday. So I'm trying this out. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, I don't know how the audio quality is going to be. Clearly, since I'm at the office, I installed Audacity on my work machine, but I realized that's probably frowned upon. I probably shouldn't be doing, spending time doing like a sound editing project at work, especially with work equipment. So I took that off. But anyway, so that's what's going on with me. If you're hanging out and you want to chat during the show, you're very much encouraged to do so. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and once you're there, launch Commode Chat. That's C-O-M, just Charlie Oscar Mike. C-O-M, press enter. That'll launch the program. You press G for go to, and then you type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and that will take you to the Anon Radio Room, where you can hang out with all the cool people. Since this is pre-recorded, though, like I mentioned at the top, I'll be in comm live if I can, but since that, I can't shout out people in real time. Sucks. But I'm predicting that WX Boss and X1 and Ratsu and Thrig and Publius and probably a Topster are lurking about. I'll also tell you, you can always press equal sign in comm to see the next things coming up on the show. On the radio, or you can go to anonradio.net and check it out. All right. And I mentioned it on my Mastodon a little bit ago and a couple days back, but whenever I make the show, I use a utility called Single File, the Firefox plugin. And the Firefox plugin, I have it configured to send the files over to GitHub, and I have GitHub pages set up so you can see an offline, well, if you clone the repository, you would have an offline copy of the stuff. I generate that, and it has all the images and stuff, so I like it. Anyway, I'm where the snakes and all the cool critters used to live. It's essentially a ramp to the pond now, but I'm going to sit here unless somebody comes and tells me otherwise. Oh, it's so peaceful here. All right, let's read some disturbing news. So this story here is exceptionally disturbing. But it's what happens, I guess, when you're really desperate. A woman admits to helping her mother kill a pregnant teen and rip the baby from her womb. An Illinois woman has admitted to helping her mother kill Marlon Ochoa Lopez, a 19-year-old whose baby was cut from her womb in 2019. Desiree Figueroa, 29, pleaded guilty on Monday to one count of first-degree murder according to Cook County court records. The 29-year-old has also agreed to testify against her mother, who is also facing murder charges, in exchange for a 30-year sentence. It's got to be pretty rough when you're like, yeah, I'll take a plea deal. I'll just go 30 years in prison. And she's 29, so she'll be 60 when she gets out. Man, I guess it's better to have the last years of your life free than to die in prison. I don't know. Either way, her boyfriend also pleaded guilty last year, to one count of obstructing justice for helping cover up the murders. He was sentenced to 4 years, but the wheels of justice turned slowly. It took 4 years for his case to get heard. So that's, he's going to get out with time, sir. And this is one of the things that people don't realize, or people get grumpy about, places that have cash-only bail, where you have to show up with all the money right there. You can't use like a bail bondsman or something. But just bail in general, it's like, if you have the money, you can go out and be free for years waiting for your trial. But if you don't have money, you have to sit in jail for years waiting for your trial. And it's just totally unfair. Anyway. So basically the plot is that a woman here's the story. Clarissa Figueroa was accused of plotting for months to acquire a newborn after her adult son died of natural causes. Investigators said she told her family she was pregnant and posted an ultrasound and photos of a room decorated for a baby on Facebook. She later met the victim on a Facebook page for pregnant women in March. Before the two women first met in person, around April 1st, 2019, when Ochoa Lopez went to the Figueroa's house and left unharmed. The teenager then returned 3 weeks later to accept an offer of some free baby clothes. When she arrived, police believe Clarissa Figueroa and her 24-year-old daughter strangled the young woman to death with a cord and cut the baby from her womb with a butcher knife, according to prosecutors. Before the Figueroas wrapped the teen's body in a blanket, put it in a plastic bag, and put it in a trash can outside. Hours after, first responders received a call from Clarissa Figueroa, who claimed her newborn child was not breathing. When the first responders arrived, the child was blue. The baby was taken to hospital, where he died 2 months later. Police did not connect the disappearance of Ochoa Lopez and Clarissa Figueroa's ill child until May 7th, when friends provided police access to her Facebook account. At that point, authorities saw that Ochoa Lopez and Clarissa Figueroa had correspondence the day of disappearance, and DNA tested the young child. The DNA test confirmed that the child was of Ochoa Lopez and her husband. A warrant followed, where they found cleaning supplies and evidence of blood in the bathroom and hallway, according to the Associated Press. So yeah, anyway, sorry that story took so long to get out, but it's just such a wild story, right? Oh, cool. There's some ducks in the pond having a good time. But yeah, man, I didn't realize it, but just sitting here by the water is really helping my mental well-being right now. Pretty cool. All right. Well, what else is happening? Well, lots of death and destruction, I tell you what. At least 10 people are dead in Ecuador. They're having some serious issues. At least 10 people have been killed in Ecuador in a series of attacks blamed on armed gangs as the county plunges into chaos in what the new president has called an internal armed conflict. President Noboa, age 36, declared a 60-day state of emergency and nightly curfew on Monday, following the escape of José Adolfo Macias, a.k.a. Fito, the leader of Ecuador's biggest gang, Los Choneros. Macias was serving a 34-year sentence at the regional prison, La Regional Prison, in the city of Guayaquil. Gangsters unleashed a wave of terror across the country and in several overcrowded prisons after 8 people were killed and 3 were injured in attacks, while 2 officers were murdered by armed criminals in a nearby town. In retaliation, local gangs took several police officers hostage and set off explosives in several cities. Armed and hooded gang members stormed a studio of state-owned TCT Television, that's Tango Charlie Television,
in Guayaquil with guns and explosives while cameras were rolling on Tuesday. Why are they all upset about this? It's like, why are people so mad about this? It doesn't, this is a story from Al Jazeera, but it doesn't give me enough backstory. Yeah, if anybody knows, please post it up in Calm or let me know on Mastodon or something more. But, yeah, I don't know why other gangs are mad that a different gang leader was busted out of prison. If he was freed by the state or something, that'd make sense, but anyway. Let's talk a little bit less about death and talk about life, or I guess a scam. This is a pretty great scam, I think. At least it's one of those, if it sounds too good to be true, it might just well be. All India pregnant job service. Indian men conned by impregnating women scam. That's right. I'm not joking. This is a real scam that happened. In early December, Mangesh Kumar, name change, was scrolling on Facebook when he came across a video from the All India Pregnant Job Service and decided to check it out. The job sounded too good to be true. Money and lots of it in return for getting a woman pregnant. It was, of course, too good to be true. So far, the 33-year-old, who earns 15,000 rupees or $180 a month, working for a wedding party decoration company, says he's already lost 16,000 rupees to fraudsters, and they are asking for more. But Mangesh, from the northern Indian state of Bihar, is not the only person to fall for the scam. I wonder if the road noise is very dominant, or if you guys can hear the fountains. I guess we'll find out today. So far, the team has arrested 8 men, seized 9 mobile phones and a printer, and are searching for 18 others. But finding the victims has proved more tricky. The gang has been active for a year, and we believe they have conned hundreds of people, but no one's come forward to complain, possibly because of shame. The BBC managed to speak to 2 of the victims. One said he lost 799 rupees, but didn't want to discuss details. Mangesh was much more forthcoming, and over the course of several phone calls revealed how he fell prey to the scammers. 10 minutes after I clicked on the video, my phone rang. The man asked me to pay 799 rupees if I wanted to register for the job. The caller, Mangesh calls him Sandeep, told me that he would be working for a company in Mumbai and that once he'd signed up, he'd be sent details of the woman he'd have to impregnate. They offered him 500,000 rupees, almost 3 years' wages, to have sex with a woman and promised further reward of 800,000 rupees if she conceived. I'm a poor man. I desperately need money, so I believe them, the father of 2 young boys told the BBC. Over the next couple of weeks, Mangesh was asked to fork out more than 16,000 rupees, 2,500 for some court documents, 4,500 as a safety deposit, 79.98 rupees as goods and service tax on the money he was going to get. He shared all the receipts and the fake court papers with me. The official-looking document with his name has his name and carries his photograph, along with that of a man in a police uniform in big capital letters on top. It says baby birth agreement, and the fine print below reads pregnancy verification form. The signature at the end of the document resembles one used by U.S. talk show host Oprah Winfrey. wow. That's pretty... Oh, yeah, it does look like Oprah Winfrey. it looks like they just copied a famous signature and put it on there. Yeah, it looks like Oprah's signature. The O for O magazine is like the O that Oprah uses when she signs her name, and it looks very much the same. It's so funny. Anyway, there's a podcast I like to listen to. I listen to it regularly, but not religiously, called Darknet Diaries. I just listened to the one called The Pig Butcher. And pig butchering is a big scam. It was one of the most famous, or one of the biggest cyber crimes. And pig butchering is when it's a romance scam, but you feed them along, collecting as much money as you can before you just walk away and ghost them. So it's different than the, business email compromise? Because with the compromise, they usually are like sending you like an invoice. And it's like, oh, here's an invoice for $1 million, and please pay our bank. But with the pig butchering one, it's more like scamming a person. And it's like, oh, the one they talked about on the show was like, a guy had a cybersecurity researcher, of all people, found somebody on a love matchmaking site. And when they were talking, chatting online, she was like, oh, I have a crypto, I've got a great crypto coin to invest in. And they had made like a phishing site or a fake site that looked like a real site, and just kind of scammed him out of 90 grand, which is like, holy crap. Anyway, it's called Darknet Diaries. Recommend. Oh, goodness gracious. It's already halfway through the show. We've done 2 or 3 stories. Sorry about that. I don't know. We're trying something new. I usually try to do 15 to 20 stories in a show, but we might have to cut that down because I kind of like to talk more about the stories more. I don't know. You guys let me know. I'll be in calm, I hope. All right. Deadly storms cover the U.S., delivering tornadoes, snows, and flooding. At least 4 people have died, and over 500,000 homes are without power after a series of powerful windless storms swept through parts of the eastern U.S. and Canada. Over here in Texas, Austin, Texas, we just had some really strong wind. All of Texas had really strong winds from this front that was a storm system that moved through. And so everyone was just up real late at night, just listening to the wind, watching the weather, because we usually have kind of some unpredictable weather whenever things get volatile like that. But fortunately, it was pretty mellow. More than 1,300 flights in the U.S. were canceled on Tuesday, and Vice President Kamala Harris's plane had to be diverted due to weather. So yeah, strong weather in the U.S., at least 4 people dead. Several men have been arrested after dispute over a secret tunnel in a Brooklyn synagogue. That's right. If you're not on TikTok, you may not know about Tunnel Lady. There's a lady up in like New Jersey or on the East Coast somewhere, I think. Anyway. She's called Tunnel Girl, and she was basically this engineer who wasn't getting any permits or anything, but was just digging a giant mine and tunnel system under her house. Mines are and tunnels are having a year because now in the synagogue in Brooklyn, a group of men belonging to a Hasidic Jewish community in New York were arrested on Monday amid a dispute over an illegal tunnel secretly dug into the side of a historic synagogue, which has been closed. Action by law enforcement after the tunnel came to light led to a brawl between police and those who had created the passageway and wanted it to remain. The Chabad Lubavitch World Headquarters, located in Brooklyn's Town Heights neighborhood in New York, was in chaos on Tuesday as Jewish leaders and police faced off against what Rabbi Mati Seligson, a spokesperson for the Chabad, called a group of extremist students. The building was once home to the Orthodox Jewish movement's leader, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, and draws thousands of visitors each year. Schneerson led the Chabad Lubavitch for more than 4 decades before his death in 1994, reinvigorating a Hasidic religious community that had been devastated by the Holocaust. Seligson said that the rebel students from within the movement had secretly broken through the walls of a vacant building behind the headquarters, created an underground passage beneath a row of office buildings and lecture halls that eventually connected to the synagogue. A construction crew was brought in on Monday to fix the damaged walls, but was met with protests from students who had created the tunnel. The reason for the tunnel's creation remains undisclosed. A New York Police Department spokesperson said police officers were called to the building on Monday afternoon to respond to a disorderly group that was trespassing and damaging a wall. Those allegedly responsible for constructing the tunnel were arrested for criminal mischief and criminal trespass and obstructing government administration. City inspectors came for an emergency inspection. Police officers stood behind barricades surrounding the headquarters, blocking a line of young men who wanted to enter the building. An anonymous tip about the location had been sent to the New York City Fire Department last month, but when a fire prevention team responded, all exits were found to be operable and up to code, according to Amanda Ferrianci, a spokesperson for the agency. So it's kind of funny. It's an abandoned building. It's a building that's closed up. So I'm assuming that it's abandoned or is owned by somebody who's not the church. And there was another abandoned building, or at least vacant building. So they just went from one vacant building and built a tunnel to the other vacant building. Oh, what a world, what a world.
It's about 20 minutes after 1900 UTC, so I want to remind you, in just 10 minutes, we've got the Dubis Gold Committee with Tope coming up. Fun show that airs every goddamn day, right here on and on radio. You know, what will we talk about? What will happen? It's always a question mark. In the wintertime, synthesizers and the indoor soft crafts make a recurrence or a resurgence, maybe. But you never know. Maybe it's warm and we get to talk about dudes, or maybe there's some people, there's some dudes living under the porch or on the porch. You never know. The Dubious Goals Committee is a fun time. You never know what'll happen. Will Pippa be there? How is the girl at the grocery store? What's going on? There's so many different characters in the Dubious Goals Committee. You never know who you'll meet. So tune in, 1930 UTC, right here. Like I said, about 10 minutes from now. Whew, all right. Well, let's talk about science and stuff, because since I'm going so slow, there's no way we'll make it through the rest of the other news. An Alabama priest who married an 18-year-old has been excommunicated. Who would have thought? Uganda has a bunch of expiring vaccines they're having to destroy, about $7 million worth. The United States and the UK are out there fighting the Houthi rebels in the Red Sea. Yemen's Houthi rebels, this rebel group, was guarding the Red Sea to prevent people from going in protest of Israel, Israel's genocide in Gaza. But the United States and the UK don't really care too much about genocide, as long as it's if there's money to be made, I guess. Anyway, let's talk about technology. Technology. Hackers have stolen customer data from Europe's largest parking app operator. Europe's largest parking app operator has reported itself to information regulators in the EU and UK after hackers stole customer data. Easy Park Group, the owner of brands including Ringo and Park Mobile, said customers' names, phone numbers, addresses, email addresses, and parts of credit card numbers had been taken, but said parking data had not been compromised in the attack. The company didn't say how many of its users had been affected, beyond detailing that 950 Ringo users in the UK were involved. Spokesperson said the majority of users affected are users in Europe on the Easy Park brand, which suggested that the data of thousands of customers had been compromised. The hack highlights the increasing centralization of parking services across the world as apps, websites, and automated phone lines replace physical meters and parking attendants. There's a great article on Hacker News, if you use Hacker News. Some of my friends don't, and they have good reason to. The comments section can be pretty toxic, but the moderation's poor, but there is cool tech news there sometimes. But anyway, there was a guy that had an article, basically, I don't know, like 3 out of the 5 top fast food chains in the U.S. all use the same software, and so by compromising one service, they were able to hack all of these guys' menus at once. Easy Park's owned by a private equity firm that bought it from BMW and Daimler in 2021. Easy Park Group said it discovered the breach on December 10th and started informing affected customers days later. Sweden's privacy regulator has been notified as the lead authority for the EU, while the Information Commissioner's Office in the UK and the Swiss data regulator have also been informed. Easy Park said that for affected customers, a few digits of your IBAN or credit card number were part of the breach, but no combination of the stolen data could be used to make payments. However, it warned that customers should be mindful of phishing when attackers use some information to fool people into giveaway money or payment details. Yeah. I think it'd be great. It would be pretty easy to be like, the credit card you've stored on our site, beginning with or ending with 2844 or whatever, has expired. Please re-enter your payment details on this website. Be very careful. Be mindful of the, if somebody sends you an email and asks you to click on a link, just go to that website and find the data yourself. Don't use the link if you can avoid it. Apple has paid out over claims it deliberately slowed down iPhones. Apple's begun making payments in a long-running class action lawsuit over claims it deliberately slowed down certain iPhones.
Complainants will receive a cut of a $500 million settlement, which is about $92 per claim. Apple agreed to settle the lawsuit in 2020, stating it denied any wrongdoing, but was concerned with the cost of continuing litigation. A similar case underway in the UK is seeking £1.6 billion in compensation. It all dates back to a 2017 when Apple confirmed a long-held suspicion among phone owners by admitting it had deliberately slowed down some iPhones as they got older. That's also, if you remember, there was a big battery thing, and now you have a battery life indicator on your phone that you can see how the life of the battery is doing. Let me pull it up. Like my phone, let's see, if we go over here to battery. Yes, there's a whole battery section. Let's see. Battery health and charging. Maximum capacity, 85%. Peak performance capability. Okay, I have optimized battery charging and clean energy charging. Oh, that doesn't help me. Clean energy charging would only matter if I had time of day charging. At home, I pay 15 cents a kilowatt hour extra, a surcharge, 15 cents a kilowatt hour for green only green energy, which is funny because my rate would be 15 cents a kilowatt hour for coal, for power from the coal plant down the road. And so it costs me twice as much to get wind power. But it's okay because I use 200 kilowatt hours or less a month. So anyway, Oh golly, we've only got a few minutes to go and I've been talking about power. I didn't even get to the space news. Space, this is exciting and fun. So first, NASA and JAXA are working to troubleshoot the glitch with the new X-ray astronomy satellite. Not a good week for space. A Japanese X-ray astronomy satellite with contributions from NASA and the ESA is working well in orbit 4 months after its launch, other than an issue that could affect one of its instruments. The Japanese space agency, JAXA, launched the X-ray imaging and spectroscopy mission X-RISM on an H-2A, that's Hotel-2 Alpha, on September 6th. X-RISM, or X-ray Romeo India Sierra Mike, is a replacement for the Hitomi spacecraft, which malfunctioned shortly after launch in 2016. US and Japan are working on that. Meanwhile, Japan has released its first Sakura forecast. These are the cherry blossoms. So the cherry blossoms should start showing up on March 21st. Full bloom is expected on March 30th for Fukuoka and March 31st for Nagoya. So if you are into those things and want to travel, now is the time to get going. So just a heads up. Colorado study recommends replacing coal power plants with nuclear power. A study of clean energy alternatives led by the Pueblo Innovative Energy Solutions Advisory Committee found that only advanced nuclear could make the community whole from the losses it'll suffer from the closure of the last unit at the Comanche coal-fired power plant in Pueblo, Colorado, while ensuring a just transition. So it's kind of funny how it's like, oh yeah, solar power and wind power don't have the same people requirements, same manpower requirements. The U.S. Administration is setting out rules for clean hydrogen. The White House says its tax credit initiative stands to be the most consequential policy supporting the deployment of clean hydrogen in history. But stipulations that would make credits available only to the newest clean electricity generating units would exclude most of the U.S. nuclear fleet. The claims, the 45V clean hydrogen production tax credit. So read about that on your leisure. We're out of time. Please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee, and thanks for listening. I'll try and get this new way of making the show working. But have a good 2024. Have a good rest of your day. I'll be back tomorrow. So enjoy the dubious. It's so dubious, dubious, dubious goals. Dubious goals time. It's time for Tilb and Pippa. Pippa's a cat. Pippa's a cat. Pip is also the sergeant at arms of the committee.
Boop boop a doo, doo doo doo, freestyle song for Toad. 7.